gospel promises. We know without a doubt that the greatest message the world has ever heard is the message of the gospel. Someone has said the gospel is good news to guilty men. And that is true. I can recall the time I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was guilty, I was sinful, I was lost without Christ. And you know, the gospel is good news. Christ can save us. He can give us everlasting life. He can take us home to heaven. The gospel is the greatest message in the Bible. It is great when you think that it is a gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a gospel about a man. It is not a gospel about works. The gospel is about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest person who ever lived and who is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great text above my head here in the pulpit. He is Lord. So he is. He is Lord and he is King. And the gospel is about Christ. We think to our Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And we see this man of God who saved, he's a servant of the Lord, and he goes down in here to the city of Samaria. He's got a message. He's got a message for the people. Listen, the message is about Christ. He preached Christ unto them. And the gospel message is not about our church. It's not about works. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why one of the reasons is the greatest message in the world. You think about the passion of the gospel. It is full of the love of God. And every one of us here tonight knows that tremendous verse, the words the Lord Jesus spoke in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should have everlasting life. And the Bible reminds us of the great love that God has to you and I who are guilty, who are sinful in his sight. He so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that he sent his Son into this world to bleed and to suffer and to die upon the cross and shed his blood. Oh, the passion, oh, the love that's in the gospel message. That God loves sinful men like you and I. And you can marvel, child of God, tonight when that message came to your heart by power. And God spoke to you and showed you his great love in sending his Son into the world to be your Savior, to die and suffer upon the cross in order that we might be saved. Oh, the passion of the gospel message. The great love of God is found in that. Think of Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2, verse 4. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Not just that he loved us, and he did love us. But he speaks here about this great love, the great love of God. Oh, dear friends, think of the power of the gospel. Think of those tremendous words that I love so well in Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Apostle Paul, he was saying these words to himself. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the very power of God unto salvation. He was not ashamed of Christ. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it was through this message our people were saved. That's why it said in Acts 17, verse 6, Paul and his friends were ministering down in Thessalonia. It said, these men have turned the world upside down. That's what the people, that's what the enemies of the gospel said about them. They've turned the world upside down. How could they say these words about Paul and his friends? Listen, they were preaching the gospel. Oh, the power of the gospel message to change lives, to change countries. If you're unsaved tonight in this meeting, the gospel can change you. That's a tremendous message that they found in the Bible. Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. We think of the promises of the gospel. And the gospel, of course, is full of promises to all those who will accept them. I had to say tonight, they're divine promises. They're promises from God. Now, these promises are found in the verses that we've read together tonight in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6 down to the end of verse 8, promises that God had given to Israel. They were in bondage. They were in the land of Egypt. And God is coming on to Moses and he makes a number of promises. He commences the promises by the words, of course, I am the Lord. And you find that in verse 6 that the Lord says, wherefore I am, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And at the end of verse 8, and I will give it to you for inheritance, I am the Lord. So sandwich in between these two great statements, I am Jehovah, I am the Lord, are promises. God, listen, God is making these promises to Moses. He's making them to the children of Israel, what he's going to do. And I say to you tonight in this meeting, here we can find typified for us gospel promises. God is saying, I am the Lord. I am God. And here are promises that I will give to you in trusting my Son to be your Savior. And I want us tonight to look at the gospel promises here that are found in these words. You have the promise of peace and rest, because you notice three times the Lord said to him in verse 6, sir, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And he says to him that I will rid you out of their burdens. And he also says to him there in the end of verse 7, your Lord, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now, here's a promise from God. God says, here's something I'm going to do. You're going to have peace and you are going to find rest. I am going to do this. I am going to take away your burdens. I'm going to take these burdens off you. I'm going to take you from under these burdens. So I say to you here, there were three times God says to this people, I will take away your burdens. I will rid you under these burdens. Think of the burdens. Think of the trouble the children of Israel were going through at this time. It wasn't easy being in Egypt. You only have to read the earlier chapters here of this book. We find a people were under a severe and heavy burdens. It was not easy. It was not easy for this people living in the land of Egypt. No, they were under burdens. As I said, three times here in these verses, God speaks about their burdens. It was not easy. You can read there about their service when they lived in Egypt. Their service was very hard. Pharaoh was a hard taskmaster. He didn't like them. He looked out, he saw they were multiplying. He was out, in a sense, to destroy them, and he did try to destroy them. And when it came to him about their work, he actually says, well, take away the straw. You can read that in chapter 5. Let them go out and find their own straw and to make bricks. He actually says there in the verse 9 of chapter 5, let there be more work laid upon the men. He wasn't going to let them go at all. Moses had said, and God had said, let my people go. He says they're going nowhere. They're staying here. And I'm going to make sure they're staying here. I'm going to give them more work to do, more service. Now, dear friends, you can see that. It wasn't easy. They were burdened down here in the land of Egypt. But the great gospel promise was God says, I would take to you, or I will bring you out from under the burden. I'm going to set you free from this. You think of their service. You think of their suffering. In chapter 5 and in the verse 14 about the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmaster has set over them, were beaten. And so the whip was applied to these men. When these men were thought to be slack in their work, the whip was laid upon them without mercy. And it tells us here in chapter 5 that even their officers, they were beaten. They were suffering. They were suffering here down in the land of Egypt. It certainly was not easy. That's why it says in chapter 3, verse 7, you know what God said? Looking down upon this people here in the land of Egypt, God said, I know their sorrows. Think of those words. I know their sorrows. God could see their tears. God could see their sorrows. God could see their struggle. He could see their suffering. You see, they were suffering down in the very land of Egypt. But God said, I will rid you of this bondage. I will bring you out. I will bring you out from under it. And I want to say to you tonight, that's a great promise in the Bible. In the gospel, there's rest and peace for those who trust Jesus Christ. We think of the tremendous words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it was Jesse Ryle said of these words, that they should be written in letters of gold. In Matthew 11, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will deliver you from that burden of sin. I will take that burden away from you. It's crushing you. It's breaking you down. It's holding you. I will set you free. Dear friends, what a promise there is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people tonight, and they're serving the devil. And they're serving sin. Both are very hard taskmasters. It's not easy. It's not easy. Some of us here tonight can recall the times when we were unconverted. It was difficult. It was hard to serve the devil 24/7. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, the way of a transgressor is hard. It's hard life. There are people tonight chained to drugs. There are people tonight chained to bars. There are people tonight would love to be free, and they've tried and they've tried and they've tried to set themselves free, but they're unable. They can't do it. But the Lord Jesus can set them free. If the Son of Man shall set you free, he shall be free indeed. He has promised, listen, I will give you rest. You'll never find peace in the world. You'll never find peace in sin. No, friends. There's only peace. There's only rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel promises to give rest to those who trust him. I ask you tonight in this meeting, do you feel the burden of your sin? Do you feel the bondage of it? And there's people tonight would laugh at such suggestions. They feel, no, I am in control of my life. I have the whole thing under control. I could stop at any moment, you know. I could just give it up in a moment. Friends, that's a lie. Tell them to give it up. They soon find that sin, that the devil is holding them. But we find here there's peace and rest and liberty. And freedom in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can set you free. He can do this. And I asked you tonight, do you feel the burden of your sin? Do you know you're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know tonight you're heading down towards hell for all eternity? Are you not burdened? Are you not troubled? Are you not fed up with sin tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ says, I will rid you of your burden. I will take that burden of sin off you. I will set you free. Friends, this is wonderful to have the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there many tonight could stand, all of God's people tonight could stand up on their feet and say, yes, I can verify this is true. The Lord sets you free. He gives you freedom. He gives you peace. He gives you rest. The great gospel promise. He promises to set you free from your sins when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. So it was a promise here of peace and rest. And then it was a promise of being purchased, because what the Lord says in verse 6, he says, and I will redeem you. I will pay the price that you might be mine. I will buy you. You will become, listen, my people. No, they're struggling down in Egypt. They're crying down in Egypt. They're held in bondage down in the land of Egypt. No, but God said, I'm telling you this, I will purchase you. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will purchase you. And we think of this tonight with the gospel. We think of here in this message the price of their redemption. Of course, everybody knows this particular passage in the book of Exodus. We know the price of the redemption was the lamb. It was the blood. You only have to read Exodus chapter 12, and it tells you here about the people were told to go and take a little lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, God was going to redeem this people to be his people. Here's the price of it. It was the blood. The blood of a little lamb. That was chosen. That was spotless. That was slain. Listen, that was sufficient. They put it upon the doorposts and the door lintel. And the Lord said to Moses, tell the people, when I see the blood, when I pass through here at midnight, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Dear friends, here's the redemption. The buying of this people was blood. Blood, not silver, not gold, but blood. He talked here about the power of redemption. He talked about a stretched out arm and great judgments. Of course, when you read the book of Exodus chapters after this, of course you read about this. The mighty, mighty power of God set upon the Egyptians. In 10 plagues, waters turned into blood, there was frogs, there was lice, there were flies, there was darkness, there was thunders, there was lightning. God was redeeming this people. Listen, with great power. He was showing the people in Egypt that he is God, that he's all powerful. And he's saying here to Moses, I will redeem them with great power. With judgments upon the people. Even he's going to punish the Egyptians with his judgments. And we find out, of course, they were punished greatly. But here's a great thing. They had the promise. God says here, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will do this. And you're glad tonight there's a great promise of redemption. In the gospel. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the message. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, in whom we have redemption, listen, through his blood. He's writing to those people who were heathens, who were idolaters in their past life. He's reminding them how they were redeemed. Listen, how they were set free. How they became the people of God. He says redemption through the blood. How does God redeem sinners? It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. I come to the Bible. It tells us plainly here. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us to be the people of God. And Peter brings that out, of course, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, were saved by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Peter was writing to these believers, listen, they were suffering, they were scattered. But he was reminding them they had become the people of God. They had been redeemed. How were they redeemed? Dear friends, the blood of Jesus Christ. It wasn't their silver. It wasn't their gold. It wasn't their religion. It wasn't their works. No, no. They were redeemed by the blood of a lamb. And he promises to redeem sinners. I will redeem thee. We think of the power of that. There's power in the blood. We love singing that hymn, don't we? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Oh, the power of the redemption. The punishment of the redemption as well. No, the Lord punished, not us. We deserve to be punished. But you know, he punished his son to redeem us. He took our place. He took our sins upon, the Bible says, his own body. He took our punishment. He, 1 Peter 3, verse 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins. And he suffered for our sins. Listen, to redeem us, to purchase us. And when we come to the gospel message, I say to you tonight, to unsaved person, the Lord can redeem you by the blood. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not what you give. It's not what you pay. It's not what you do. Listen, it's not what you say will save your soul. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that redeems you. And I love that little word. Some people just put it on their headstone, you know. Not a whole lot of words when you on their gravestone. Redeemed. Not a wonderful way to leave it, friends. Not a wonderful testimony to leave behind. Just that one word. Redeemed. Oh, dear friends, the promise here of purchase. I will redeem you. You're held tonight by the devils, we've said. You're held tonight by sin. Oh, here's a tremendous message of the gospel of Christ. I will redeem you. I will redeem you. We think here also there's a promise of being his people, because he says here in verse 7, I will take for you to me a people, and you will be my people, and you're going to become his. Remember in chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, Moses went into Pharaoh, and the Lord said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. And God here is saying unto Moses, I promise you that there will be my people, they will become mine. They will belong, not to the world anymore. They will not belong to the devil anymore. Listen, they will not belong to themselves anymore. They're going to be my people. I will take you a people. You'll be my people. It's a wonderful promise that's found in the gospel. God brings a sinner into a relationship with him, and they become his people. We think of Peter. Peter was a tremendous servant of the Lord. And in 1 Peter 2 and verse 10, here's what Peter said in relation to this, speaking about this people he was writing to. And he says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. So he's saying two things here. There was a time in your life you were not God's people. Well, that dispels this notion that everybody's a child of God. No, no, friends. Everybody is not in the family of God in the sense of salvation. And Paul is writing, or Peter, you were not a people. You didn't belong to God. You were far away from him. But he says here, but now you are the people of God. Something had happened. Oh, dear friends, they have been saved. They have been brought into the family of the living God. God had delivered them. He had saved them. He had brought them into his family. They were now his people. That's why John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, remember those tremendous words? He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Dear friend, what a truth. He says, behold, he's really saying in a sense, look at this. Look at this wonder. Look at this miracle. Look what God has done for us. That we should be called the sons of God. To become his people. I'm glad I am one of the people of God. The best people in the world is God's people. It's wonderful. No matter where you go, you love to meet a child of God who's been saved, born again in the Spirit of God, and brought into God's family. It's tremendous to meet them. In my outreach work, I love knocking doors, and somebody opens the door, and I talk to them about being saved, and then they inform me that there are God's people. They have been redeemed. They have been set free. They have been saved. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But they belong to the people of God. They're in his family. And I say to you tonight, and the unsaved in this meeting, the Lord can make you one of his tonight. He can bring you into his family. He promises this in his gospel. I will take to you, to me, for people. And he said here also, and I will be your God. I will be your God. The great Jehovah. The great creator of the world. I will be your God. Other people had false gods. They had false worship. They're up to their neck in idolatry. But God says, listen here, I will be your God. And there are people tonight, and they have sin to be their God. They have riches to be their God. They have immorality to be their God. But God says, listen, I will be your God. I'll be number one in your life. I'll be number one in your heart. The children of Israel was now going to have the God with them. He was going to look after them. He was going to provide for them. Dear friend, this is a tremendous promise as God is saying unto Moses. This people, I will take you to be for a people, to me for a people. And also he tells us here in verse 7, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. They would know God in this. This was really a relationship. They were going to know God. Not only would God know them. No, your friends. They would know God. They would know him. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17, that great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us what salvation is. In John 17 and verse 3, and he says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. But notice here, what is salvation? Christ says that they might know thee. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And when you come into God's family, you know him. We know him. We know him as our God tonight. Those of us who are saved, we know him as our Savior. We know him tonight, he's our shepherd. We know him tonight, he's our friend. This is the promise. This is promise to guilty sinners tonight. You become to me a people. And there was a time in my life, and child of God, in your life, you were not his people. You were lost. You were far away from God. Why is it tonight? Why is it tonight we're in the meeting? Because we are the people of the living God. And we know him. And you're glad you know Christ tonight. And you're glad he's our Savior. You're his. And listen, the wonderful thing about salvation, you come to Christ, you're his forever. I'm glad this is salvation of the Bible. Jesus saved, his blood washes white as snow, and I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. When he brings you from sin into his family, friends, you never lose your salvation. No, you'll not be saved or lost. Maybe there's someone in the meeting believes you can't be lost. Impossible. Read the promise what Christ says, or God says to me, I would take to you, to me, for a people. You'll be my people. And do you mean to tell us God's going to adopt people into his family, sons and daughters, and then cast them out of his family? No, dear friends, when you're brought into God's family, you're in it forever. You'll be his people forever. Would you not be saved tonight and brought into the family of God? And God will be your God. You'll be his people. And you'll know him. You know what it is to love him. You'll know what it is to listen to him and to walk with him, to lean upon him. You'll know God. He promises this. He promises also of a place to the people. Look at verse 8. He says, and I will bring you into a land concerning to the which I did swear to give unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And God is making another promise. He said, hold on, it's not all finished yet. You'll be my people. I will redeem you. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to bring you into a land. You ain't staying in Egypt. No, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. And I'm going to bring you into the promised land. This is the gospel. This is the message Moses preached here to the people. God says, I will bring you into the land. You can think of the promises of God. You think of the promises to Abraham in the Bible. And the words of God said in Genesis 15, verse 18, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." And so we find here there was a promise of a land. I will give you, I will bring you into the land. I want to say to you tonight, this is a great promise of the gospel. The Lord has promised to bring us into a land. We ain't staying here. We're going home. You know, one of the first things that spoke to me as a young man brought in a gospel mission and we all converted state was Joe Peden singing that song, "If we never meet again this side of heaven, will you meet me in the beautiful land?" That really spoke to me that night as a young man sitting in a gospel meeting. He talked about another land, a land of heaven, a land where we live forever, a land where we never cry, a land full of life, a land full of joy, a land where we'll be with Christ forever. And God promises in the gospel, "I will bring you into a land." Dear friend, this is a gospel message. He will not cast sinners down into hell. This is where we deserve to go. I deserve to be cast into hell tonight. So does everyone in this meeting. Listen, so does everybody in the world tonight. But the gospel is a great promise. He will save us from such a predicament. He will bring us into a land. I will give you a land. They got a great hymn. "There's a land that is fair in day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place where there." And it's an inheritance for us, an eternal inheritance. That's found, of course, all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the promises of God. I'm glad tonight I can say in closing, I'm standing on the promises of God. I have claimed these promises. I found these promises to be true. I know I'm waiting on the last one with the Lord to bring me into the land. But that one day that will happen. That will happen for every child of God. He will bring you into the promised land. And we'll look upon the face of Christ, the one who saved us by His grace. Oh, there's gospel promises. Have you received them? Have you accepted them? I said to you tonight, have you believed them? That means, have you trusted them? Dear friends, one writer said, Augustine of Hippo says, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe in, but yourself. Have you believed in Christ tonight in closing? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then you can claim the promises that's found here historically that God gave to the children of Israel. And dear friends, you can be able to say, I'm going home to heaven. Are you saved tonight? Are you washed in the blood of a lamb? If not, repent from your sin, friend. Repent and believe the gospel and come to Christ. There are young people here tonight. Maybe you're not saved and you've heard the gospel, but you're not ready to meet God and you know you should come to Christ. Well, I urge you tonight to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and claim these promises. They're not just for adults. I know, dear boys and girls, young people, they're for all of us. They're for you as well. And the Lord can save you and take away your sin and give you everlasting life. So I trust the Lord will bless His word tonight to all of our hearts as we thought about historically here, the promises of God in the gospel. May God write His word upon our hearts.